Okay, it's Lamed Zayin, the top 130 at the bottom. We are 10 lines from the top. Okay, Perek of Tes, Alter Rebbe was explaining the following. What happens? A person tries his best to get the neshama kindling the body. It doesn't work. So, he brings on the Zayir. You have a piece of wood that's too thick. You don't have a Tanya? Oh, okay. 130 at the bottom. What happens if you have a piece of wood that's too thick? The fire doesn't catch on. You got to chop it up, make it into small pieces. He says, what's stopping a person from feeling this fire of godliness? Their ego. So he says, you need to do an un-egoing job, a de-egoing job. And he says, the person should think how bad they are. They have the ability to sin. And even if they don't sin, but they could sin, they're worse than the animals. And if you really make a reckoning of every thought, speech you had from the time you're born until now, you see really how bad you are. And another thing he says, if you have dreams, you should know, because your neshama doesn't go up and you're stuck down and halfway up and halfway down. And that causes all those nightmares and all, and so on and so forth. So he says like this, 10 lines in the top. The more a person delves in his thoughts about this, when he delves into svarim, for his heart to be broken within him, and to be despicable in his own eyes, by the way, not somebody else in your own eyes, you in your own eyes, with the ultimate level of being despicable, the limis chay of mamish, to despise a life because they're so bad, they make a really serious reckoning. This is the way you despise and embarrass and insult the evil. And you lower it to the ground. And you lower evil from its thinking of its greatness. And its haughtiness. And its haughtiness in a way that it only makes itself great over the godly soul, to darken the light. Meaning as follows. The Alter Rebbe is saying evil is basically, as we'll soon explain, is likened to darkness. Darkness could be very scary. You know, people are afraid of the dark. But the truth is, darkness is only the absence of light. It's nothing. Okay? It only appears to be something. You take a balloon, okay, and blow it up. Okay? And you block a door with it. Okay? The truth is, you take a tiny pin and go like this, the whole balloon goes back to 2 inches. Right? It blows itself up in a way that it blocks and it covers and it conceals. But the truth is, it's full of hot air. It's nothing. Because the only true existence is Hashem. Evil's uniqueness is that it makes itself big. Like, you know, there's an expression in Yiddish, machte vezem von sich, you make a tzimis about yourself. You make a commotion about yourself. Nobody's making a commotion except the person themselves. Evil has this knack of elevating itself in such a way to darken the light of Kedusha and to make block it and do everything when it's really nothing. So it says, when the person realizes this, that evil is just this thing that makes itself big, but there's no substance to it, it's literally full of hot air, it's darkness, so then that itself breaks it, and that itself lowers it. In other words, like we said last week, the expression, there's nothing as complete as a broken heart. There's nothing, there's nothing as complete as a broken heart. And he says, and you should scream at Yetzirah. He doesn't mean here a physical loud noise. He means spiritual loud noise. To lower it, like the Gemara says, a person should get him the Yetzirah angry at the Yetzirah. Shenemer says, Rigzu, and then the pasuk continues, and you won't sin. Meaning, to scream at the nefesh habam is to get angry at the animal soul. Shu yitzre hara, which is the yitzre hara. The kol rash v'regiz b'machshavte, with a strong, loud voice in his thought. You don't go around screaming, they'll lock you up. In your mind, you say, atara v'rosha u'meshukitz u'mesurv u'menuvul. You tell me you're wicked and evil and despicable and abominable and disgusting. K'chol Hashem is like all the names, shekodu le'chachameinu zal, that the chachamim in Chazal, in Gemara, in Medrash, called the Yetzahara. And you say to him like this, be'emes, truthfully, admose tasti lefonai, erin tzav baruchu, why are you concealing in front of me the revelation of Hashem, hamamalu kol almin, that permeates the world, haya heve v'yeh b'shaver, past, present, and future simultaneously. And he says, Gambamakim Zashani Olaf, the person says to himself, even where I'm standing now, then what is this place? It was the same way God was before the world, Belishum Shinui, without any change whatsoever. Why? Kamesha Kosov Ani Hashem Leit Shanisi. In other words, you say to yourself like this, the same infinite God that existed before the world is existing now in the world. Okay? And you want to come and block for me this unity and connection and revelation of godliness with your stupidity. Right? The Gemara says in the Basi Dagani concept, Ruach Shtus, the foolish spirit that causes a person to think it's something when it's really nothing. And he says, Ki l'mayla mi'azman Hashem is above time. Ba'ata menuv, you despicable one, you are denying the truth which is visible, another truth which is noticeable. The kula kamei kolei mamish, that everything compared to Hashem is nothing. What are you making yourself as something? Because, like we said before, evil is basically, and Al Rebbe is going to explain this soon too. Evil is basically darkness that is really a non-existent entity. It just makes itself powerful. It's very interesting. I mean, you know, the Ruchnias Hashem put into the Gashmis the same way. If you look in darkness is a very powerful tool. In negativity, I'm saying. People are afraid of darkness. You know, there are people that are afraid of the dark. A person would be, not. Some people are literally afraid of the dark. But I'm saying, even if it's you're not literally afraid of the dark, you're afraid to move around in the dark. You're afraid to do things in the dark. What all darkness is nothing but the absence of light.
Yeah, but I don't think they're actually afraid of the dark. I think they're afraid of what can happen in the dark when you can't see it.
But darkness is causing that to happen.
Yeah, uncomfortable.
Darkness is causing that, even though, how could nothing frighten you? If you think about it, what is darkness? The absence of light. Right? And yet, nothing is so powerful that it can control the person. It actually controls the person. In a certain respect, you know, the Gemara says, in many respects, a blind person is considered like dead. Why? Because their whole life is so dark, there's no light physically, that it's a big problem. So therefore, the Gemara says, their life is not really a proper life. So he says, a person has to tell you, you are nothing, you're darkness, and you expect to block this great relationship that I'm supposed to have with Hashem. And I'm not going to let it happen. And he says on top of the page, okay, this will help for the godly soul. Once you, in other words, like this, once you get rid of the blockage, godliness is automatically revealed. Okay? It's like if you put a heavy curtain in your window that blocks the light, okay, and therefore the room is dark, the second you remove that covering, you don't have to restart it, you don't have to press a reset button, you don't have to call the company to relight it, the sunlight automatically comes in. The only thing that's blocking the godliness, so to speak, to shine on the person is the darkness that the person causes by doing evil. And then have Shabbos. Once that's removed, right, The second you bring the candle into the room, darkness is out. And he says, therefore, if a person realizes that the godliness, the light of God, is not permeating themselves, he says, you know why that is? Because you're too thick. Chop yourself up, bust the ego, bust the evil, and the godliness will automatically catch on.
I thought the Rebbe said the reverse.
No. Says, in a way that you see it, not only, it won't even be in a way of understanding, you'll actually see godliness. And he says, Shazel, Sheirish Kol Aveda, this is the source of the entire Aveda. The source of the entire Aveda is to get rid of the evil, which blocks godliness from coming in, because otherwise, automatically, godliness is revealed. And he said like this, Vatam, why is this? Fishba emes, realistically, ain shu mamashes klau besitrachra. There's no substance to evil. Because Hashem only created evil not as an entity by itself. See, this is a fundamental difference between Yiddishkeit and Lahavdil, other religion where Satan exists and evil exists and all that. In Torah, especially the way Chassidus explains it, evil is not an entity by itself. Hashem only created evil in order for good to be good. In order for good to be good, you need a choice to do evil. Because if there's no evil, then when you do good, it's not good. Because what else can you do? Like we learned, Malachim, who have no evil inclination, no body, no animal soul, and they're programmed to do good. When they do good, it's worthless. They can't get rewarded for doing something that you're programmed to do. Right? Reward and punishment comes from free choice. You could do good, you could do bad. You choose one of the next, then you get rewarded or punishment. So he says, the only reason why Hashem made evil is not that evil is substance. It's not an end by itself. Good is an end by itself. Evil is a means for good to be good. But there's no substance in evil. And therefore, Lochein Nimshel Locheshech. Therefore, evil is likened to darkness. What's the concept of darkness? She'ein b'shum mamashes klal. There's no substance at all to darkness. And that's why the Alter Rebbe says, "Memele nitcha me'er." That's why, you know, like we learned, you could have a dark room, right? Whenever there's a fight between light and dark, light wins, right? A dark room, bring in a candle, it dispels a lot of the darkness automatically. Why does it dispel darkness automatically? If darkness is a substance, then there should be a fight. The answer is darkness is not a substance. Darkness is absence of good. What is evil? Evil, the Alter Rebbe explains, is only the absence of good. Now the truth is, there can be no absence of good because Hashem is all over. Okay? Evil makes itself pretend that it's blocking godliness. But it's not, there's no substance to it. The second you bring in a little bit of Kedusha, a little bit of light, the evil falls away. And there's no more evil existence. And therefore, he says, when you speak like this to the Yetzirah, and he says, "V'kacha sitrachra," he says, "Av sheyesh bo chayis harbe." Even though evil is so powerful, it could give life to all treif animals and the fashas humas akum and the idol worshippers. The gam nefesh abamish should be soaking out. Even the Jewish animal soul is also klipas noiga. Mikama came nevertheless. Hare kochayusa einem mitzad atzmachas v'sholom. Evil doesn't exist from evil. Evil only exists from Kedusha. Ein al mitzad Kedusha. In other words, the Alter Rebbe is saying here, if you think about it, it's an unbelievable concept. Evil has no life of its own. Okay? Darkness has no life of its own. Evil, its life comes from Kedusha. But it's such a covered, concealed, hidden level of Kedusha, it looks bad. But evil itself lifts from Kedusha. Because if there's no Kedusha, there's no evil. And therefore, unlike Lahavdil Christianity, where evil has its own entity, Yiddishkeit says no. Everything lives from Hashem. So even though the power of evil doesn't feel the godliness that it has, it only feels itself, but that itself is coming from Hashem.
Because everything comes from Hashem.
Correct. Even evil. So therefore, if you're looking at evil as evil, it's nothing. Evil's whole existence is Hashem making it exist. Why? For good to be good. Because we said if there's no good, there's no bad. If there's no bad, there's no good.
So then you're saying it does exist?
It does exist from Kedusha. In other words, evil is also bottled to Hashem. But it puts on the show that it's not. Where does evil exist from?
This is hidden good.
Evil exists from Kedusha. God gives it existence, right? Yeah. So if Hashem gives it existence, why isn't it aware of godliness? Because it's so covered and concealed that it doesn't feel itself. So what it feels itself, truthfully, is nothing substantial. It's only something that thinks it's something. It's only something that thinks it's something, and realistically it's nothing. And therefore, the Jew has to know that as powerful as evil is, it's fake, it's false. There's nothing there.
If it pretends that it is not hidden good, it's not the same thing?
No.
Evil pretend.
So he says, evil has its no self existence. Not only because of holiness. Therefore, really, evil is bottled to holiness, like the bittul of choshech mipnei ergashmi. Just like darkness is bottled to light, meaning whenever light comes in, it's out. The truth is, evil is the same way. That's why evil is depicted in Torah as choshech, as darkness, because it's nothing, and the second kedusha comes in, it's automatically not there. So he says, so how could it be so powerful? If it's nothing, how could evil be so powerful? He says, very simple. Lagabi kedushas nefesh kish ba'adam. Well, as far as the godly soul of the person is concerned, nasim la'kadosh baruch hu reshus v'yecheles, Hashem gives evil. Evil is really nothing. Hashem makes evil be strong for the person not to listen to it. To be able to reach a level of breaking evil. And he says, Hashem only gives it ability to elevate itself against Kedusha. Why? For one reason. That a person should be awakened. To be victorious over it. To lower it. In other words, it's like a game. Like we learned the whole time, this whole world is a game. Hashem makes evil strong only for one reason. Not because it's strong. Hashem makes it look strong, look scary, look powerful, for a person to bring light and get rid of it. Because if there would be no darkness, Torah mitzvahs wouldn't be worth anything. Because then all you could do is Torah mitzvahs, is programmed to do nothing. But it's interesting, Hashem says the only evil power, and the only power that evil has, is only for one reason, for a person to break it.
Huh?
I remember the frost-free freezers. I'm old, you gotta talk louder. First of all, here the Alter Rebbe is speaking about our evil of Nefesh HaBamis. Right. Now, when another person does evil to you. Let's say another person is blocking you from learning and davening. Right? That's not the internal evil, it's the external evil. We learned last time. Why did Hashem put his power into that goy to distribute davening? Why did Hashem lower his great holiness into a goy to distribute davening? There's no purpose by itself of that goy who's disturbing your davening to be strong. The only reason is for you to daven better.
Put it in a Jew.
A Jew, a guy. The Rebbe says even a guy, because a guy has no pachir and a Jew does. One second. So if the person realizes that the only reason why the evil exists within them, internal and external, is not that there's anything to the evil. It's just a bunch of hot air, and it's only there for me. Hashem gives it the ability. Like the Gemara says, Kol ha-meitzel Yisrael nasareish. Whoever oppresses the Jews becomes a big macher. You know, Parai, Haman, Nebuchadnezzar, all the people become, okay? So simply the reason is because it's more and less insulting if the Jews were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, superpower, than by nobody, right? But in a deeper sense, the stronger the evil, right, the greater the greater the accomplishment is when you break the evil. So that's where that needs to be. But
Rabbi, you said that the answer is the person should daven better if somebody is davening, but maybe they should just cook the shabbos.
Great idea. So therefore, he says, a person screams at himself and says he's worthless and all that. And he says like this, K'dei sha'adam yis'ered, a person should awaken, l'zgabir oleha, to be victorious over the evil, l'ashpila, to lower it, aydei shiflus v'nichmeniches ruchai, by breaking their spirit, v'nivza b'ein of nimus, to be despicable in their own eyes. And he says like this, when you try your best to break evil, Hashem will do his share and break the evil too. In other words, once Hashem sees that a person is trying to break evil, Hashem will help him to actually accomplish the mission. Because Hashem sees you're trying, then, you know, if he says you're not trying, why should I try? Why should I try to help you if you're not trying yourself? Mm-hmm. Therefore, Sarusa de Lasata, through the awakening Naved of the Jew down here, Sarusa de La'ela becomes an awakening from above. The Kayim Ashikosev, to fulfill what the Pasuk says, Misham Eidit Chonum Hashem. The Pasuk says in Tabia Kaneshin, if evil will elevate itself like an eagle, meaning flying high and powerful and everything, from there Hashem will lower it, meaning, Hainu Shemasira Memshalta. Hashem removes the jurisdiction of evil to control the person. Like he said before, why did Hashem give evil power? Right? For the person not to listen to it. Right? So, but the ability is there to get you to sin. That's what Hashem wants. So if Hashem sees you trying to break the evil, Hashem will take away the power of evil, and you'll see, tak, it's nothing. Like the famous Medrash, okay? Avraham Avinu was going to the Akedah. Right? So all of a sudden there's a thing of water. Avraham Avinu says it's not supposed to be water. Hashem said to go. He went and he realized there was no water. He was walking, there was a big mountain. He said, Hashem said to go. He went, all of a sudden there was no mountain. In other words, when Hashem created a facade of evil to block the person from doing what he has to do, the second Hashem sees, you realize it's nothing and you're trying to break it, so Hashem will take it away already.
Enough to try to break it, or you have to break it and it will help you?
You have to break the evil, but if a person tries hard, Hashem will help us do it.
Try hard.
He might get an A for effort on the report card, but as we said, there's a famous story, the Friedrich Rebbe once called him one of his chassidim when he first came to America, and he told him to do something, and the chassid didn't do it. So the Fleet Grabber called him back and said, I told you to do something, you didn't do it. And the Chassid gave the Rebbe a legitimate excuse why he didn't do it. Okay? Legitimate excuse. So the Fleet Grabber turned to him and said, listen, in Yiddish, he said to him, I asked you a question, you answered, but guess what? It still wasn't done. There was once a story with Rebbe Rashab. Went to Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Eizer, the great tzaddikim of that generation. They went to the government to break a decree against the Jews, and they were not successful. And later, Reb Chaim Brisker, who was very close with the Rebbe Rashab, heard where the Rebbe Rashab was crying very harsh in his room. His mom was crying. So Reb Chaim Brisker went over to the Rebbe Rashab and said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, we did everything possible. Like, we did everything humanly possible. What do you want? So the Rebbe Rashab said, but the decree still wasn't nullified. You know, okay, so God will give us a good Gan Eden for trying. But the bottom line is, what we needed to accomplish still wasn't done. And the Fleet Rebbe said to this person, I asked you a question, you answered me, but it still wasn't done. So, in other words, you have a legitimate excuse, but the bottom line is, what needs to get done wasn't done.
If I try and I'm not able to overcome.
That means you didn't try hard enough. If you don't succeed, try again. That's what they say in America. If you don't succeed, try again. When people, as a very famous concept that I repeat many times, when you ask somebody to do something and they'll say, I'll try, you know what that means?
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But they don't want to say no because it doesn't sound right, so they'll say, I'll try. The Mendel Futterfuss once asked me to do something. I told him I'll try. He said to me, American bluffer. It's American bluff. He says, it's American bluff. I'll try. He said, why did you just tell me no? Don't tell me I'll try, which means no. Tell me no. What?
Isn't there also a concept that as soon as, let's say, the light comes in, that Hashem will want a person to be on a higher level or whatever?
That's the problem with this game, yeah. Problem is, once you win step one, immediately a new game comes, step two, that's harder. The problem, though, is by the games you could turn it off in a night. In life, no turning off.
Then what would make someone want to do it? All they're thinking is like, okay, fine, I'll finish this. And then the next thing you know, it's harder and harder. So yes, you're getting to where you're supposed to, and obviously in the end we're in a better place.
I'm going to rephrase your question. I finished first grade, why should I go to second grade if it's harder?
No, it's not.
I might as well stay in first grade.
You know what, some people feel like,
Okay.
I finished high school, why should I go to college type of thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
In English it's called laziness.
It's not laziness, but this is not... this is not like
if you finish first grade,
yeah,
it would be easier to stay in first grade. Second grade is harder.
Yeah.
And then you finish second grade, hopefully you make it to third grade. Now why should somebody want to go to high school if eighth grade is easier?
Laziness.
So the answer is, because you're older and you're smarter and you're supposed to be smarter and more mature and therefore you're supposed to accomplish more.
So you're saying the same thing that when we're older we're supposed to, so everyone, because like when you're in 8th grade everyone is 14 years old, so you're saying everyone should be on the same level when they're 35 years old?
No.
It's the same thing, then whoever isn't is lazy and they should be.
Everybody
no.
Should follow their mission.
Laziness is based in this religion on individual accomplishments. The Eibishter doesn't mark on a curve. You know what I mean? The Eibishter doesn't mark different marks. The Eibishter marks every individual person what their level should be and what it is.
And what they need to accomplish.
What it should be and therefore could be and what it is. That's the difference the way the Eibishter marks the report card. So you can't say, okay, everybody's in 8th grade, we're all the same. Okay? The truth is, even in school, not everybody in 8th grade is on the same level. And therefore a teacher, if they're given over to the job instead of being lazy, they will look and give work for each kid on the level of that kid. Extra credit, whatever it may be.
Yeah, but also, you know what? When you're in fifth grade, you could really go look at the sixth graders and see what's coming next. And this, you cannot know what's coming next.
But sometimes the older we get, the stupider we get.
That happens.
Most of it.